The glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. So when we see the light, it reflects the glory of the Lord. It is an announcement from above that God is with us. The light in the Bible reflects His glory.
This is Pastor Paul Chappell on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. It's my prayer that the Bible teaching and preaching you are about to hear will be a blessing to you in your Christian walk, and that because of your time in the Word of God today, you will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
As we read in Luke chapter 2, we see the prophecies of the Old Testament are fulfilled concerning the coming of the Messiah to this earth. The birth of Jesus Christ has now taken place. The Bible says she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. What a miraculous night this was. The Bible describes it in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 with these words, when the Bible says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." As we read 1 Timothy 3:16, we hear that phrase, "God was manifest in the flesh." Why do we celebrate tonight? Why do we celebrate tomorrow? We celebrate because of that phrase, "God was manifest in the flesh." Jesus Christ was God's gift to the world. Now, as God had come down in the form of man, it took place in a way that none of us would have perhaps planned. We would not plan the birthday of the King of Kings in a stable. We would not plan to place him in a manger. We perhaps would not bring him into the world at such a time when the Roman Empire was moving so vastly and taxation was so heavy. We would have perhaps brought him into a different time and a different place. But God, according to his timetable, brought his son into the world during this moment to show the humility and the love and the grace that he would provide for all who believed. Now God will announce the arrival of his son. And the announcement also will take place in an unusual fashion. Not in the way that we would have announced his arrival. We may have taken out ads in newspapers or on television stations. We may have invited the kings from other kingdoms. But the Lord chooses a very unusual methodology. The Bible says he sends angels to tell shepherds that his son had been born. The Bible says in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." My friends, be comforted in this fact that God uses common people to accomplish great things. And he uses these men who dwelt out in the country, who worked with their hands, men who were, by the world standards, not clean and not wise, but they would become the first evangelists of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he brings his message to these shepherds in a wonderful way. The Bible says in verse 9, "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." One of the things you'll notice throughout the Christmas story is the presence of the glory of the Lord, the presence of heavenly light, showing the message and showing others to the place of the birth of Jesus Christ. And here we see the angel of the Lord giving the message to the shepherds. I heard once about a preschooler who was excited that he was invited to be in his school play. And his dad said to him when he came home, he said, "Son, what part did you get for the school play?" "Oh," he said, "Dad, I got a good part." He said, "I'm going to be a German shepherd." Now, he didn't have it exactly right, but he had a good attitude about it. And he was glad to be a shepherd in the play. You know, we might look at the Christmas story. We might see the shepherds and see as their part may not seem as important to us. But what a privilege to be the first ones to hear this news, that Jesus Christ was coming. And throughout the Christmas story, as we see the announcement given and as we see the wise men coming, and in every step in between, we are aware of the glory of God. The presence of His light is everywhere. Now, there are those in society today who would have us to dim that light. There are those who would prefer a holiday season. They would prefer celebrations and gifts without the name of Christmas or of Jesus Christ in particular. There are those who act as though all of the happenings of these last several days, and especially of the day tomorrow, are just kind of a cultural thing that we do, but not necessarily with a point of inception such as we know tonight, the birth of Jesus Christ. One administrator in our public school recently sent this memo around: "Dear staff, please remember that we live in a multicultural community. The use of the word Christmas and references to the nativity scene are highly offensive to people in our community. Please remember to use neutral language in your announcements and bulletin boards, such as winter holidays." Now, I'm thankful tonight we don't have to worry about being politically correct, aren't you? I don't think many in our society need to be quite as worried about it as they tend to be. I'm so thankful tonight that we can say with freedom and with love that we are here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we want to put the light where it belongs, and it belongs, and the glory belongs on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, in this candlelight service, we take a few moments to remember Jesus Christ as the light of the world. Notice very quickly tonight, as we consider the light of the world, the light reflects the glory of God. The light reflects the glory of God. In verse number 9, the Bible says, "The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." Notice, if you will, then, the glory of God from heaven. As the light is manifested, it is manifesting the glory of God. The glory of God is coming down on this scene. The glory of God is manifesting itself to the shepherds. And the Bible speaks of the glory of God the very first time. In Exodus 16 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud." Whenever you see the glory of God in the Old and New Testaments, it appears in a form of light, in a direction-setting way of nature, showing the way toward God. We see it with the children of Israel as they wandered in their journeys through the wilderness, the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night, the glory of God directing them along the way. The glory of God came down from heaven. But then we also see the light as the glory of God with us. For Jesus Christ came down as the light of the world. And as the angels gave this message and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, they were signifying that the light of the world, the glory of God, would come down to men. When I think about this fact that God is with us, that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come down to be with us, I'm amazed, first of all, by His presence, because His presence is humbling. His presence with us is a humbling thought. I believe every one of us should be thankful that God would love us so much that He would come to this world. Charles Spurgeon said it this way: "Emmanuel, God with us. God with us in our nature. God with us in our sorrow, in our life work, in our punishment, in our grave. And now with us, or rather we with Him, in resurrection, ascension, triumph, and second advent and splendor." God will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. And when He came down to this earth, He came down personally, so that we might know and understand the glory of God in a personal way. That's what John 1:14 declares. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld Him as the only, as the first begotten and the only begotten of the Father." We beheld the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. His presence is humbling, but also His presence is honoring. It's a very great honor to know the Lord and to be in the presence of the Lord. We see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when the temple was dedicated. the glory of the Lord came down. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering of the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. So when we see the light, it reflects the glory of the Lord. It is an announcement from above that God is with us. The light in the Bible reflects His glory. But notice secondly tonight, the light represents the Son of God. When we see the light, we are reminded of Jesus Christ Himself. He was prophesied to be the light of God. And I want you to see this. His light was prophesied. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 told the story. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Listen, tonight, men may ridicule the name of Jesus Christ. They may wish to not say Merry Christmas. But the fact of the matter is that all over the world today, there are hospitals built in His name. There are orphanages that have been built in His name. There are missionaries serving in His name. There are doctors ministering in His name. And do you recognize tonight that this dark world has been blessed by the light that we celebrate tonight? The presence of God. His light was prophesied by Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive, the Bible says. And Micah prophesied that He would be born in Bethlehem. His light was prophesied. But notice secondly, His light was pronounced. Jesus Christ pronounced Himself to be the light of the world. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Tonight in this candlelight service, that's what we remember. Jesus Christ came in the darkness of that first century when the Roman government was now spreading across the known world. Taxation was heavy, poverty was great, and yet in that moment He came and He was the light. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, do you understand that there are many lights today? There are many lights in the religions that are false. There are many lights in the New Age religion. They speak of illumination. They speak of understanding. But Jesus did not say, I am come to be one of the lights. He said, I am the light of the world. The light of the world. John the Baptist spoke of this in John chapter 1 and verse 6. It says this, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Notice this verse. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Thank God tonight we're here to worship Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Many great prophets and many great people have lived throughout world history. But anyone who understands who they are and who He is knows we are not the light. He's the light. And we're here simply to lift up the light tonight. Jesus is the light. J. Sidlow Baxter wrote, fundamentally, our Lord's message was Himself. He did not come merely to preach a gospel. He Himself is that gospel. He did not come merely to give bread. He said, I am the bread. He did not come merely to shed light. He said, I am the light. He did not come merely to show the door. He said, I am the door. He did not come merely to name a shepherd. He said, I am the shepherd. He did not come merely to point to the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How we thank God for this tonight. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And so the light reflects the presence of the glory of God. And the light represents the Son of God. When we read of the light, we read of Jesus Christ as the light that has come to the darkness. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm so glad that His light shines in my heart tonight. I thank God for His blessing upon our church. I thank God for His blessing upon our city. I thank God for His blessing. And when I see good in this world, I see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining and brightly warming the hearts of men and women. But then may I say finally tonight, the light renews the children of God. What a blessing it is to meditate on Jesus Christ, who He is and what He's done, and how it renews the hearts of millions of people tonight who live in a troubled world as Joseph and Mary did, who live in a time of darkness with the threat of war, with worries concerning taxation and economic distress. And yet, with all of that around us, we can be renewed by the presence of God within us. And we thank God for that tonight, that He is Emmanuel, God with us. The light renews the children of God. The first thing His light gives us is direction. Every one of us need the direction of God. As the angel announced to the shepherds, so God announced and gave to the wise men a star that they might follow, that they might see the direction to God. And God provides direction for every seeker, for those who are looking for Him, for those who long for His knowledge and a relationship with Him. God will show them the way. The Bible shows us this to be the case for the wise men. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. This light that was prophesied, it was something that wise men were looking for. It was something that they anticipated. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the light that had been promised to them. And how we must also look for the coming of Christ and look for the light that He brings. Matthew 2 and verse 9 says, and when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know, the light of God provides direction for people who are seeking God. And for people who want to follow Him, Jesus says, I'm the way. I can show you the way to a relationship with God the Father. And the wise men had the light that was given to them from heaven. I think most of you are aware that making decisions in the dark can lead to some regrettable consequences. Every one of us need the light of God's Word. The Bible says, thy word is a light unto my path. We need God's direction. I always counsel people against making big decisions when they're discouraged, when they're in a time of darkness. It's wise to put off making decisions at those times. Get into the light of God and into the light of the Word of God. Back in the days before electricity, there was a tight-fisted old farmer that was always trying to cut pennies and save money as best he could. And he went up to one of his hired men, and this particular fellow had taken one of their best lanterns, and he had taken it out and went on a date with his girlfriend. He wanted to take the lantern over to her house, and then they went out and had some time in courting and so forth. And the farmer said, when I was a courting, I never carried one of them things with me. I always went out in the dark. And his hired hand said, yes, sir, and look what you got. It's probably wise not to make decisions in the dark. We need the light to show us the way. And friends, tonight Jesus Christ is that light. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You say, well, I want to walk in the light of God's Word and God's presence. Then follow His Word each and every day, because it will lead you in the ways of Jesus Christ. The light renews the child of God and gives us direction. And then the light keeps us in a relationship of devotion. It gives us direction, but it also gives us devotion. And we follow the Lord with direction and devotion. Listen to this verse, Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. There was a time, God says, before your conversion that you were walking in darkness. But now, because of the Lord, you have the light. So He says, walk as children of the light. Nothing is more confusing for the unsaved world than watching Christians who live in darkness. Because God has called us to the light. He has called us to walk in a way that is reflecting the presence of God within us. And oh, it's vital that we would walk with that devotion. Sometimes I get around members of our church who have this heavenly devotion. If I could put it this way, they have a heavenly illumination about them. You can tell that they love the Lord. You can tell that they read the Bible and pray and they forgive and they have the spirit of Christmas all year long. My son Matthew and I were out visiting some of the dear widows of our church today and stopping by and visiting different folks. And it was a true blessing to us to sense the love of people who've walked with God and through some difficult times and times of loneliness like many of us perhaps do not know. It reminded me of the story of an elderly lady named Stella Oglethorpe. Stella was having her first Christmas alone. Her husband had passed away a few months prior, and there was some snow in her neighborhood. She was not able to put up her decorations. In fact, she really didn't feel like putting her decorations up that particular year. Late in the afternoon, the day before Christmas, the doorbell rang, and a young man was standing outside with a box. He said, "Mrs. Oglethorpe," she said, "yes, how can I help you, son?" She said, "well, I have a package for you." And so he presented her the package, and the lady said, "well, what's in the package?" And the young man said, "well, here," and he opened it up, and inside was a little puppy. Boy, that puppy had his tail wagging a mile a minute, and little sparkly eyes looked up at her. It was a Labrador Retriever, and just squirming around. And the young man said, "this is for you, ma'am." She said, "but who sent this? Where did this come from?" He said, "well, it's all explained inside the envelope there, inside the box." And said, "the dog was purchased for you a few months ago when his mother was still expecting, and it was meant to be a Christmas gift for you." And she said, "oh, but who sent the puppy to me? Who sent the puppy to me?" The young man said, "well, ma'am, your husband sent you the puppy." And he said to say, "Merry Christmas." He had written 3 weeks before his death a letter to his wife. He said, "sweetheart, I want you to know I love you. And though my days on this earth are now numbered, I look forward to seeing you in heaven. I'll be waiting for you. I'll look forward to seeing you at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, I hope this puppy will keep you company and that you'll remember me." After a little while, Miss Oglethorpe put that little dog in her arms and she began to think about the love of her husband. She said, "you know what, little feller? I've got a little Christmas tree downstairs in the basement, and there's some lights around. Let's find those lights. I think you'll like those lights, and you'll have some fun with those." And she began to decorate. She began to enjoy her day just a little bit more. And it's amazing to stop and think about the way that God uses loving people to send His message of encouragement, to send His message of devotion. You see, light is always more powerful than darkness. And God is more powerful than Satan. And good can overcome evil when we who are His devoted people will think and walk in the ways of God. We'll walk with love and encouragement one towards another. And I want you to be encouraged tonight with this fact that the glory of God still shines wherever Jesus Christ lives. And if He's living in your heart tonight, then let His glory shine through your life in the new year. And let others know that Jesus Christ is still the light of the world. John 12:46 says it this way, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." You say, "I see crime and I see problems." And you know what God sees? He sees people who need the light. He sees people who still need His Son. And that's why we're still on this planet, to help people come to the light. Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world." Jesus said, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," Paul the Apostle wrote, "shall be saved." And I close tonight with this verse, Galatians 3:26. It says, "for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You see, God wants everyone to be a part of His family. He's the creator of all. And in that sense, every person is created by God. But those who are His children, Galatians 3:26 says, are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And my friend, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you call upon Him to be your Savior, at that very moment, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. His light takes residence within your heart. You become a child of the light. How? By birth. by new birth, by accepting Christ as your Savior, you have the privilege of receiving Christ. And so I ask you tonight, is His light shining in you? Have you received Christ as your Savior? And if you have, let me ask you this, is His light shining through you? Is His light shining through you? We used to sing that little song when I was in Sunday school. It went something like this. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Then it went like this. Hide it under a bushel. What does the next word say? No. I'm going to let it what? Shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus is the light of the world. And if Jesus is in your life tonight, then let me encourage you. Let it shine. Let the light shine. You may be with friends or relatives tomorrow who really don't even know the Lord, but may they see the Lord in you. May they see the Lord in this church. And may His light shine through us in the new year.
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at lancasterbaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional, log on to dailyintheword.org and subscribe today for a daily devotional that will come right to your desk, a word of encouragement from God's Word that will help you each and every day. And finally, if you're looking for more resources, Bible study tools, or books that will help you in the Christian life, you might visit strivingtogether.com. Striving Together publications exist to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your hunger for the Word of God. May God richly bless you.